Please listen carefully.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
6 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now, from our home offices with our blue mics, we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, and home office, cleaning your kitchen, how's your quarantine going, worthy podcast. Today is Thursday, May 7th, 2020. I almost forgot which day of the week it was, Chrissy.
Well, yesterday, Summers, I did, since it was my first official work day, you know, even though I was kind of working on Monday and Tuesday, I thought it was Monday yesterday. And I went on after this call, I went on to our Zoom room for our Monday staff meeting, and I waited for like 10 minutes before I realized that I had the wrong day of the week.
You must have been so frustrated wondering, like, why are all these slackers not showing up to work?
And I was about to send an email to everybody when I realized that it was actually Wednesday.
Oh my goodness. Well, it is Thursday, even though it seems like a week of perpetual Mondays. I'm feeling kind of off today a little bit. My daughter has decided she doesn't like to be in the stroller, so my afternoon walks where I get out of the house and get a little exercise hasn't happened for a couple days. And last night I found myself being super aggro, and I realized as I looked at my Fitbit that my step count was way down. So today I'm going to have to do maybe a little dance party while she watches me, just so I can get my heart rate up. I'm feeling a little trapped this week, not gonna lie.
I think you should do a Facebook Live and live stream that dance party.
Just might. Because you know what the internet needs? More moms dancing with their babies. That is what the internet needs.
The internet does need some more laughter.
You're saying my dancing would be funny then, huh? Got it. All right.
Hey, I'm sure Brennan's gonna think it's hilarious.
Okay, let's get started on these solutions today. Everybody, thanks for enjoying our little banter. We have some great stories today, some great optimism and some forward-looking stories. The first coming from our environment section. This is a topic we've covered before. Here's yet another teenager making a difference. This teenager made a biodegradable plastic out of wasted prawn shells. All right, everybody, what are you doing as a teenager? In Australia, a teen by the name of Angela Arora has created a bioplastic out of discarded prawn shells, a waste product in the fishing industry. Angelina, 17, first came up with the idea to create plastic alternatives a few years ago when she was just 13. As she explained in a May 2019 TEDx Youth Talk in Sydney, she first experimented by making bioplastic out of various plant-based materials such as cornstarch. Unfortunately, her cornstarch plastic was water-soluble, so it wasn't durable enough to package food. But more importantly, we'd be taking away a potential food source by wasting it, which is a massive problem, and there's so much food scarcity around the world, that's not something we want to further. One day, Angelina was at a fish and chip shop, and she saw kilos and kilos of prawn shells, crab tails, and fish heads destined for the bin. She suddenly noticed the prawn shells resemble plastic. So she collected as many prawn shells as she could, took them to a lab, and started experimenting. In her research, she found that prawn shells contain a polysaccharide called chitin, which she was first able to extract, then convert to chitosan, and combine with a fibroin, the silk from which spiders make their webs, to create her biodegradable plastic. As True Theory recently reported, Angelina's bioplastic now seems to be made with fibroin from silkworm cocoons rather than spider silk. Her bioplastic can break down in 33 days. It releases no toxic chemicals into the environment in the process. It's clear, durable, and water insoluble. Angelina's invention is not yet on the market, but she is currently working to get it approved for medical applications. Bravo, Angelina.
And this is a fun story, Summers. As you know, and I know, the Optimist Daily has been tracing bioplastics for many years. I think we wrote another article about about a similar type of plastic that was created in the UK at the Royal Design School there last year using waste materials from lobster and other seafood. So I think this is great. And if a teenager can do this, it makes me feel really uneventful.
Well, but I'm sure your cilantro is doing well.
I wish I had more sun in my yard, but yes, it is growing.
Good. Well, look, this is meant to inspire us and to remind us that there are ways to create bioplastic. People are coming up with new innovative ways of using some of the similar materials. And really, it's just kind of a race to the market to see which one has the most durability and viability as far as a commercial good. Wishing Angelina the best of luck on this. You know, it's that circular economy that's going to change how we handle plastic going forward.
Absolutely. And in our next article coming out of our food section on the Optimist Daily, state and federal governments are buying food to donate to food banks. Finally, this is a good one. As more and more Americans apply for unemployment benefits and food stamps, the U.S. agricultural industry is simultaneously destroying the largest amount of food since the Great Depression. A couple of weeks ago on the Optimist Daily, we discussed how Feeding America is advocating for a voucher program to connect farmers with nonprofits to put their unsold goods to good use. The U.S. Department of Agriculture will soon attempt to address the dilemma by purchasing $300 million worth of produce, dairy, and meat every month in order to donate it to the food banks in places of need. Additionally, the USDA will also subsidize the boxing up of food to be shipped from food banks, a task that farmers said was preventing them from donating the food in the first place. Governor Andrew Cuomo is instituting a similar program called Nourish New York in his state. The plan sets aside $25 million for food banks to use to purchase food from farmers directly. Some farmers are also stepping up to support food banks independently. Dairy Farmers of America, the country's largest dairy co-op, sent nearly 250,000 gallons of milk to food banks across the country recently. Government support of agriculture is not new. The USDA already buys $20 million of unwanted cheese from producers across our country each year. The U.S. has a large enough food supply to feed everyone, yet people go hungry every day. And in times of crisis, sometimes the solution is just better infrastructure connecting those in need with the surplus supplies. And this is very true, Summers. And part of the problem is that a lot of these farmers are not used to selling directly to individuals or small groups of people who are grocery stores even. They're selling to restaurants. They're selling to school districts. They don't have the infrastructure to box their food up or put it in bottles. So this is a great solution. And hopefully they can start building some infrastructure to distribute it in a wise way to the places in need.
Well, and this harkens back to a story that we talked about either yesterday or the day before about localization and the increase of a focus on local. Some of these large industrial methods and practices of dispersing food are not going to keep working whenever there is a disruption. One thing I think that COVID-19 and the coronavirus pandemic has taught us all is that disruption will come. It is part of the future. And we have a series on the Optimist Daily right now, which is Back to Better, reinvesting and reopening and opening into a new future. And as we start to see some of these quarantines lifted and people returning to work, it will no longer be work as usual. So I love the role that food banks have played, as well as the role that the government has recognized they can assist in playing for food banks to distribute food. These articles make me very, very, very happy. I have a friend who runs a food bank here in Ventura County, and I've never seen her work as hard as she has during this time frame. Thank you for reading that story. I think this next story, Christy, you and I have talked about a little bit ahead of time, so I'll let you weigh in after it. But this is from the health section of the Optimist Daily. This necklace can help detect high stroke risk before it's too late. One of the major causes of stroke is unrecognized and untreated atrial fibrillation, an abnormal heart rhythm that causes approximately 25% of all strokes. An ingenious new necklace, however, could make checking for it a quick and simple process. While it is the most common heart rhythm disturbance, atrial fibrillation is often symptomless and intermittent, making its detection and diagnosis challenging. The innovative necklace is designed to solve this problem with the help of an ECG, electrocardiogram, embedded into its pendulum. To measure their heart rhythm, users start an application on their smartphone and then place the necklace pendant between the palms of their hands or between the palm and their chest for 30 seconds. Data is then automatically sent to a cloud service and analyzed for atrial fibrillation using artificial intelligence. Within a few seconds, the smartphone application displays the results and the analysis, while also generating an ECG report for physicians to confirm a diagnosis. By evaluating the technology on 145 adults, the researchers found that when compared to other gold standard ECG technology, the necklace's ECG recordings also reported excellent accuracy in detecting and diagnosing atrial fibrillation. Given the positive results and the fact that the necklace test can be performed by the wearer at any place and at any time, the innovative gadget is likely to soon be recommended to people with high risk of stroke as an essential wearable.
Yes, Summers, and you just mentioned earlier on today's conversation about your Fitbit telling you your step count was way down, and you linked it to your sense of being a little aggro yesterday because you hadn't been able to walk. But this is really important for people who are at risk of these kinds of complications. My mother recently went through a couple of episodes where she basically just passed out, fainted, and they couldn't figure out what was going on for her. She did not have a stroke, but she did have her blood pressure just dropped so precipitously low that she wasn't getting any blood flow. And it was very scary for a time. I have other people in my family who have this atrial defibrillation, and it can be really scary. And so this is a great tool for people who are at risk of these things. You know, it can get people the right help they need in a more quick manner. I just think it's a great solution. And as we make friends with technology and add more wearables to our tracking systems, it can help us stay on top of our health and make sure that we get any services we need.
Yep. So teenagers sitting at home, get to work on wearables.
Wearables and bioplastic.
Exactly.
All right. Well, in our next story from the transportation section on the Optimist Daily, I love this because Venice, Italy is one of my favorite cities in the world. Venice's iconic water limousines go hybrid for the environment. Venice has long been working toward a more sustainable balance between tourism and local life. As a city of nearly 120 small islands connected by aquatic thoroughfares, that work is inexorably tied to more efficient water transit. Among the most recent transportation modes to undergo a green upgrade are the city's water taxis. Looking for a cleaner, more sustainable path forward, Venice nautical design firm Nuvolari Lenard has launched the Thunder Water Taxi. The 14-seater stays true to the classic wood style of Venice's iconic water limousines while incorporating a new hybrid engine designed to cut down on emissions. The diesel engine offers the range and power for open water trips to and from the airport. Meanwhile, the battery charges and stores an electric reserve used for low-speed cruising through the spiderweb network of city canals. What's particularly cool is that while the propulsion gets a do-over to become more environmentally friendly, it comes at no cost to the classic style of the iconic boats. Instead of giving it a dramatic modern makeover, the firm keeps the classic lines and trim of a Venetian water limousine. Nuvolari Lenard also plans to develop a hydrogen fuel cell water taxi in talks with an Asian car manufacturer about using its fuel cell technology for the prototype. And to me, Summers, this is really important because while we are seeing a much higher adoption of electric vehicles and non-internal combustion engines using fuel cell technology and electric technology in cars and even in trucks, boating is an area that really has a lot of room for expansion using cleaner engines. And this is a great story. I love the idea of Venice having, it's much quieter too. If you use a battery fuel cell to travel around the city, there's noise pollution in addition to the emissions that come out of internal combustion engines.
It's a great story, and it's also one of those stories that lets us travel in our mind a little bit right now. I'd love to be on one of those limousines in Venice at the moment. The future is coming, and it will include a hydrogen fuel cell water taxi for me. Our last story today is from the lifestyle section of the Optimist Daily, the creative benefits of being a perfectionist. There's nothing perfect about being a perfectionist. You waste time on relatively unimportant decisions. You get excessively annoyed with yourself over small mistakes, which drains you. And because you expect others to conform to your standards, you sometimes make collaborations more difficult. But that doesn't mean perfectionists are all bad. Part of what lures people into its grasp is that it sometimes pays off as a slot machine does. It's intermittently reinforced, and that pattern tends to be very sticky. It's also why perfectionists resist when they are told they need to change. The idea that perfectionism is a negative quality that they should drop isn't consistent with their experience. If perfectionists instead recognize both the ups and downsides, they are more likely to see a path forward in which they can turn up that quality or down depending on the situation. With that said, one largely unrecognized benefit of perfectionism is that it can enhance creativity. And here's how, according to former clinical psychologist Alice Boyce. You're bothered hindered by evidence running counter to your own or the consensus opinion. Perfectionists find it harder to ignore the emperor has no clothes situations in which the herd has settled into a way of thinking, but there are flaws in that consensus. Their tendency to ruminate and inability to block out intrusions can be helpful in challenging the status quo. Also, your desire to understand everything pushes you to acquire more information. Curiosity is strongly linked to creativity. Curious people are more motivated by the possibility of acquiring new knowledge than they are by the prospect of solving specific problems. Many perfectionists also tend to want to understand everything, even if it's only very loosely related to the task at hand. Following these tangents can lead to a much more diverse set of ideas and information than a more narrowly focused approach. Your stubbornness leads to an innovative solution. Perfectionists don't like making trade-offs or settling for reasonably good solutions. They want a plan that ticks all their boxes, and they will work to achieve that, including coming up with their own out-of-the-box alternatives. And lastly, your competitiveness makes you scrappy, hustling to keep up with peers. When a perfectionist sees a colleague racking up achievements they're not racking themselves, it tends to bug them. They think, I should do that too. This instant competitive instinct pushes the perfectionist to not only try to match their colleague's achievement, but to do so as soon as possible. I feel like if my family were hearing me read this, they would suggest that perhaps I was reading an article about myself, because many of these qualities are very much what I find myself struggling with, and now I feel better about being a bit of a perfectionist.
Summers, I can identify with this. I resemble this description as well. I
think, of course you do.
To me, I mean, is it perfectionism or is it procrastination? And that's always the thing. I think they're two sides of the same coin, perhaps.
They certainly can be.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening to the Optimist Daily Update today. It's been a riot, Summers. I loved sharing this little 10 minutes, 15 minutes with you. We promise to continue to share positive solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. As always, we promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, to offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
This is where we come to the part of the podcast where we ask for your support. And we're going to ask for your support in a couple ways. One, we would like to ask for you to consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. And at a $5 a month subscription, you will support reader-funded journalism and our team and help us keep these wheels running. We are also going to ask you to subscribe to the podcast and please share it with your friends. Find Christy and I on social media. Join the Optimist Daily on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Come be part of our community. Be part of the solution, changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset. Help us keep all of our fabulous team members gainfully employed and hopefully keep you entertained, amused, inspired, and optimistic. Thanks, everybody.
And also help us keep inspiring those teenagers out there around the world to solve the future's problems. We're going to need them. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Summers. And we'll see you tomorrow.
See you guys tomorrow.